Happy Sabbath, everybody. Shabbat Shalom. Good to see you all. Blessings to you and all your households, all your children. Hope that you're having a good one. Tomorrow, we get to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which recognizes the receiving of the Holy Spirit and the fantastic things that happen in the establishment of the new church, the New Testament church, giving of the Ten Commandments. And the marvelous things that happened on those days and the marvelous things that happened from the Holy Spirit. Looking forward to that time. I have a question for you today. I have several of them. I learned that in sales, actually. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Now, before you get all squirmy and uncomfortable, I want to answer the question today, but do you have it? How do you know that you have it? Have you ever said or done anything that would make you think at a period of time in your life you didn't have God's Spirit? Are you under some sort of addiction or bondage in that regard that is repetitive sin that would make you think, well, with my problem, there's absolutely no way that I could possibly have the Holy Spirit? Do you ever look at somebody else and say, they don't have the Holy Spirit? There's a way to know, and we have several ways in the church that we tend to look at whether we have the Holy Spirit or not. It's pretty important business to know whether we have it or not, isn't it? It's how we function, it's how we think, it's what motivates us, it's how we live. I had a friend call us a little over a year ago. The wife called us, somebody outside this area. She was very concerned about whether her husband had the Holy Spirit or not. And he had been conducting, you know, his attitude wasn't right. He was in great sin or anything. He was wondering whether he had the Holy Spirit. I thought, well, this is challenging, isn't it? How would you answer this? Well, we tend to answer it in certain ways, which I'm going to address, but I thought, well, I better be prepared if I ever get a chance to talk to this guy to have some answers. If does he have the Holy Spirit or not? Usually, you and I will go over to Galatians 5 and verse 22. Don't necessarily need to turn there. We'll evaluate the fruits of the Spirit, don't we? We'll take a good long look at those. And if you're like me, sometimes this can be an uncomfortable experience. You know, you look at some of the fruits, you know, love and joy and peace and self-control. How well are you doing in that area? Sometimes you can feel pretty uncomfortable reading about those. At least I can. I think if we're all honest with ourselves, if we evaluate only by the fruits of the Spirit, we could be in trouble. We tend to evaluate ourselves in that way, and we're hard on ourselves, frankly. Then we go up to Galatians 5:19, and that talks about the fruits of the flesh. And that makes us feel more comfortable because there's a lot of things in there that we just don't do. So we feel much better because of that. Then we'll go to how much we love the brethren. Well, we could all love each other a lot better, couldn't we? We hear a lot about that. I know I could. I think when the rubber meets the road, we really think about it. When times are down, we love each other. We do. We're in a unique situation. We live apart. We're not the same type of people. But when times are tough, we love each other. We've shown it over and over and over. That's not where I want to go today. So do you have the Holy Spirit? I'm going to show you, and hopefully you'll feel better about entering the day tomorrow, if you have any questions along this line, if you've ever gone through this, and hopefully I'm not the only person that's ever thought a time or two in my life where I didn't, or I'm preaching myself here, and I just turn around and go back. Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9 simply says, if you, I'll go ahead and read it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't belong to the Messiah. So it's pretty important business, isn't it? Satan wants us to think and question our relationship with God in any way. And he wants us from time to time to think that we don't have his Spirit. We just don't have it. We're not acting. We're not bearing the fruit. We don't have it. I want to start in Romans 7 and verse 22. Romans 7 and verse 22 to prove my point. The other way, and I think the simplest way to look at ourselves and see, in fact, if we do have God's Holy Spirit. I want to show you that the Holy Spirit, that the Bible says you clearly do. And you don't have to question it anymore if you do. Romans 7 and verse 22 through 23. I'm going to be reading through the Jewish Bible today. I simply like its translation and how it translates this, I think, in a way to understand it better. Romans 7 and verse 22, for in my inner self I completely agree with God's law, but in my various parts I see a different law that battles within me, in my various parts. And that's the key. Are you in the battle? Or do you feel that you're in a battle every single day? Are you engaged in a battle? If you remember the movie Top Gun, the Tom Cruise character is called Maverick. And they would go through these various exercises, and eventually his good friend gets killed, and then he can't re-engage in the battle. He flattens out. He wants to quit the Navy. He is incapable of being the fighter pilot that he was. He wanted to disconnect from the battle. He'd flatten down. And of course, the story, he re-engages in the battle, and they fight the Russians, and they beat the Russians in this little battle. But the key here is that we recognize every single day that we are in the battle, that we're fighting every single day against Satan, against sin, against what's naturally inside of ourselves. Let's let God's word talk to us. Let's just listen to what God's word says. I'm going to spend the rest of the sermonette essentially in Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 4. Romans 8 and verse 4. So that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not run our lives according to what our old nature wants, but according to what the Spirit wants. Do you and I do what the nature wants? No, we don't. We really do strive as best possible to do what the Spirit wants. Verse 5, I like this scripture. For those who identify with the old nature set their minds on the things of the old nature. But those who identify with the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Identity is just another way of saying, how do you see yourself? Do you and I see ourselves as the person we were before God committed to us, before we committed to God? Or do we see ourselves as children of God? Do we identify with the spiritual being that God is trying to produce? We do see ourselves spiritually. We do identify with that. We don't identify as people with the people that we used to be, do we? Verse 7, for the mind controlled by the old nature, this is beginning of verse 6, having one's mind controlled by the old nature is death, but having one's mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind controlled by the old nature is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Now, I combine those two words, controlled and hostile. Think about yourselves. Are you completely controlled by your old nature, and are you hostile to God? No, you are not. Are you? This is one of the easiest ways, I think, to evaluate ourselves and say, I have God's Spirit. You know that character and attitude. You've met people who are hostile and controlled, haven't we? I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with what he has to say. I don't want to help people. I don't want to be a good person. I want nothing to do with the ways of God. That's being hostile. And that's being controlled by the old nature. We're not of that nature. We're of a different nature. In Galatians 5 and verse 16 through 17, I just go over there just for just a second, says essentially the same thing. 5 verses 16 through 17 in Galatians. What I'm saying is that we run our lives by the Spirit. Then you will not do what the old nature wants. For the old nature wants what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is contrary to the old nature. He's speaking to Christians here, believers. Paul himself said, he did what he shouldn't do. He didn't do what he should do. That's the battle. That's the key here. You can evaluate whether you have the Spirit or not if you are engaged in that battle. And sure, there are times where we disengage. Everybody does. We always try to, and that's what stirring up the Spirit is, re-engage. Re-engage in the battle. What is sin? How do we get control of it? Verse 10. In Romans 8, however, if the Messiah is in you, then on one hand the body is dead because of sin, but on the other hand the Spirit is giving life because God considers you righteous, and I might add holy. Holy by association. We are holy by association. There's a lot of talk going on right now in the political arena about guilty by association. It's very interesting. It's on a religious side for both the main candidates. Well, you and I are holy by association. Do we see ourselves that way? I think we do. I think as you go through these scriptures, you let them talk to you, you'll see, I don't identify with the old nature. I identify with something new, and I have for a long, long time. You see, what we tend to do is we tend to forget, I'm a good one, I'm nostalgic, I like to look back. We tend to forget the people that we were when we were called and the process that we went through. and how much our minds have changed, how much we identified with the Spirit. 8 and verse 12 through 13. So then, brothers and sisters, we don't owe a thing to our old nature that would require us to live according to our old nature. I really like this. We don't owe a thing to who and what we were and where we came from. Our whole life we owe to God. For if we live according to the old nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you keep putting to death the practices of the death of the body, you will live. And this is the key. This is the whole point of the sermonette. If you are constantly putting to death sin in your life, you have the Spirit of God. People without the Spirit of God are incapable of even thinking along that line. How valuable it is to have the Spirit of God, to be able to walk with God and to think in terms the way He thinks, to identify with scriptures that are truth here. Why is this important? Well, we don't belong to Messiah unless we have the Spirit, but it's important for another reason. That is, Satan wants us to question everything that has to do with association with the Father, including what Romans 8 identifies with us as His Son. You know, we cry, Father, Abba. If you question that you have the Holy Spirit, how can you go to Him as your daddy? How can you go to Him as your father? Do you see yourself as His Son? It's one of the ways. That's why it's so important. Satan wants to sever our childhood from Him, God the Father. How can we make the great gifts come alive in the Bible if we continue to question whether we have it or not, or we think we just have a small portion? You know, the reality is that you either have it or you don't have the Spirit of God. I tend to believe that we have it by the scriptures that I just read. It's not portioned out or ladled out. Sure, we can stir up the Spirit. God asks us to stir it up, but it's there. And we do it by a number of different ways. Our efforts, our sincere efforts of Bible study and prayer, they help us to stir it up, but it doesn't give us a greater portion of the Spirit. And that's the key. Our performance doesn't determine whether we have it or not. God determines it. And our nature and our character is changed. How we think is changed. How we identify ourselves. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God? Yes, you do. Now, I will say this, that apparently in the time that we live, God is not doing what He says He's going to do in the book of Joel, and that's pour out His Spirit where we dream dreams and see visions and all these miracles are happening. For certain, there is a reason that we don't understand why we're at where we're at in regards to the Spirit of God. That's not for us to question, but it does lead us to the next step, and that is we need to look for that time and really wait upon that time when the miracles that happen in the New Testament church will happen in you and I. But we can't do that. We question if we even have the Spirit of God, or if Satan is successful in disconnecting us from God's love. So do we have the Spirit of God? Yes, we do. That sounds like a high school basketball cheer, doesn't it? Conclusion, let us celebrate tomorrow with truth and a pure heart and full of conviction that the Spirit is alive and well in us. Let's never doubt again and move ahead to the great call and purpose that God has given us by using His Spirit.